Welcome to NoSpinHomilies.com. I invite you to join me to reflect upon the homilies of Father Dan. Father Dan will challenge us to open our heart, mind, and soul to the Word of God. Father Dan will draw upon sacred scripture, along with art, literature, and the lives of the saints, to help us grow in our love and knowledge of the scripture. In doing so, we can become the living Word of God in this world. Now it is my pleasure to present to you No Spin Homilies.
Today, our church around the world celebrates the great feast of the Epiphany of our Lord. And we read, most appropriately, from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. It's a classic story of the Magi. Now, in this story, it's basically a microcosm of the whole spiritual life. Everything that you want to know about the spiritual life is contained in this beautiful story. In fact, scholars will argue that the journey of the Magi closely mirrors our own spiritual journey, in which we are all journeying to seek God in our life. Now notice how it begins, the speculation about who these Magi are. Now, some consider them wise men, others astrologers, astronomers. The very beginning of the story gives us two clues. One, it says they're from the east. Second, that they are scanning, analyzing the stars every night. Now, according to historical accounts, there was a very well-developed culture, the Babylonian society in present-day Iraq, that existed during the time of Jesus Christ, and they actually performed astrology. Not only did they analyze the stars, they also charted them. More to it, these Magi are looking for God's presence according to the position of the stars. Now, herein lies the first lesson for us on our spiritual journey, to be attentive. Night after night, the Magi are scanning, analyzing, studying, and looking for these stars. They're looking for the correct position and alignment that will tell them the presence of God in this world and then where they can find God. The same thing holds true for us in our own spiritual journey. We must constantly be looking, analyzing, and studying the presence of God in our life and in this world. And yet, for so many people, their spiritual journey never begins. It never gets off the ground. Why? Because they're so preoccupied with themselves, with their ego, fame, fortune, notoriety, their careers, pleasure. They don't take the time to look, analyze, and study for the presence of God in their life. Well, that cannot be with us. We must be like the Magi, who are constantly, every night, scanning the stars, analyzing them for the presence of God in the world. We too must do the same in our spiritual journey. Always be looking for, scanning, studying for the presence of God in our life in this world. Next, the Magi see the star, and they immediately interpret its meaning. They know where the presence of God now exists in this world and where. And they move out. They set out and journey towards the star. Now realize, travel in the ancient world was very hazardous. It wasn't easy by no means. We live in a day and age today in which we can get on an interstate and know where we're going. We can hop on a plane and within a matter of hours be across our country or across the world. For us, travel today is very easy. But in the ancient world, it was very perilous. The roads, for example, were not paved. They were not marked with signs, and they were not lit up at night. More to it, there were no AAA maps, no GPS. You could easily get yourself lost. You were exposed to the elements, the wind, the cold, the rain, the storms. You slept outdoors. Worse yet, there were robbers, kidnappers, and killers on these roads just waiting for you. And there were wild animals. So travel, any distance at all, was very perilous in the ancient world. And yet the Magi were willing to take the risk. They made the journey. Herein lies the second lesson for us in our own spiritual journey. When we see the presence of God in our life or in this world, go, move, act upon it immediately. Despite the fact that it may be hard at times, muster the courage and the conviction to act upon the presence of God in your life. What is one of the spiritual dangers here? When we see the presence of God in our life and we don't act upon it. This is spiritual complacency. We put it off to tomorrow. We say, you know, I have such a busy day, I'll do it tomorrow. Or, you know, it's been so hectic at work for this past week and I've got to drive the kids around and all these appointments. Next week, then I'll start to pray every day. Next week, that's when I'll start to perform the corporal and spiritual works of mercy. No. Instead, when we see the presence of God like the Magi, we must immediately move and act upon it. Next in the story, it says, the Magi approach King Herod, and they ask him, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star at its rising and have come to do him homage." The Magi now seek Herod's help. Does Herod have the best of intentions? Hardly. His intentions are nothing but the worst. He's going to try and use and manipulate the Magi to help him locate where Jesus is so as to destroy Jesus. Why? Well, we have to understand, Herod is an incredibly paranoid and very ruthless ruler. To give you a good example of this, Herod put to death one of his wives and three of his own sons because he was paranoid to believe that they were all going to overthrow him as the king. And so Herod is incredibly ruthless, and he'll do anything to maintain his power and kill anyone, including his own blood. That's why we shouldn't be surprised when his intentions are to destroy Christ. More to it, notice the question that the Magi ask Herod, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews?" See, that's Herod's title. Herod is the governor of Judea, and he is the king. And so now he hears that there is another king. Well, immediately he becomes paranoid and angry. He wants to destroy this new king that is going to attempt to overthrow him in his position. Here lies the third lesson in our spiritual journey. When we found the presence of God in our life and we moved and acted upon it, expect opposition. J.R.R. Tolkien, a very devout Catholic, once wrote the trilogy The Lord of the Rings. In this story, a small band of individuals come together and they go on a journey to do something good. Now, the lesson is very simple and yet powerful. When good people enter into the spiritual journey, they will be opposed. And they are. Throughout the trilogy, they overcome obstacle and battle and storm, all the challenges, and ultimately reach their destination. Well, when we seek the path of God, we must expect obstacles and battles and challenges in our life. Sometimes it won't be easy, but don't be afraid. Instead, summon the power of the Holy Spirit that resides within each and every one of us. And the power of the Holy Spirit can overcome any challenge, any obstacle, and defeat any battle that we have in our life. Notice further how cold and calculating Herod is. He's so subtle. He says to the Magi, "Go to Bethlehem, and when you found Jesus, send word to me so that I may do him homage." Hardly. Herod now is manipulating the Magi for his own purpose, his own gain. How often are we manipulated in our own spiritual journey? Maybe by our own temptations. See, Jesus knew this. He knew this was part of our human condition. Remember the story right before Jesus sends out the 12 apostles on their very first missionary trip to evangelize. He gives them this advice. He says, "Be as innocent as doves, but be as cunning as serpents." Well, if we are completely and only innocent, we won't see through the tricks and the obstacles and be unsuccessful in our spiritual journey. Therefore, we must also be cunning, our eyes wide open, to see the tricks and the pitfalls and to avoid them. And so the Magi set out for Bethlehem. Next in the story, it says, they were overjoyed at seeing the star, and upon entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. They prostrated themselves and did him homage, and they opened up their treasures and offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. These gifts are all very prophetic. They all tell us the identity of Jesus Christ. Gold, it's a symbol of kingship. In the ancient world, only kings wore gold crowns or jewelry. Here, Jesus Christ is our King. He is our Lord that directs our lives. Next, frankincense. Frankincense is a very special incense that is burned by the high priest in the Temple of Jerusalem only a few times throughout the year. Symbolism here, it points to the divinity of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ truly is God. He is the second person of the Holy Trinity. Finally, myrrh. Myrrh is a burial ointment that the Jews used in the ancient world to anoint the body before wrapping it up and burying it. The symbolism here, it points to where Jesus' mission will lead. That the culmination of Jesus' mission will be on the cross, dying. These three gifts tell us exactly who Jesus is. He is our God. He is our Lord and King. Yes, He reigns from a throne, but the throne is the cross itself. Now take it a step further. These gifts are the very best the Magi have to offer. Here's the next lesson in our own spiritual journey. When we have found the presence of God, we have moved and acted upon it and overcome the obstacles, and now have found and are in the presence of Christ, we give to Jesus the very best that we have to offer. And yet, what's one of the great spiritual tragedies in life? We give Jesus a little bit of our time, a little bit of our heart, a little bit of our mind and soul. Yes, we know God's will for us, but we make a half-hearted attempt to follow it. We must give to Christ the very best that we have, just like the Magi did. Hold nothing back. Our King deserves nothing but the best from us. Therefore, give Him your heart, your mind, and your soul, your intellect, and your will. Finally, at the very end of the story, it says, after having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed for their country by another way. Herein lies the last lesson for us in our spiritual journey. When we encounter Christ and we have offered Him the best that we have, then you will walk a different path. You will be a changed person, a better person. That's why Paul says in Corinthians, put on Christ and you will become a new creation in Christ. You will never come to Christ and then go back the same way. If you come to Christ and offer Him the best that you have, heart, mind, and soul, then you can expect to change. You will no longer be that same old person. Now you will be a different person, a better, faith-filled person, such that the thoughts of Christ are now your thoughts. The actions of Christ are your actions. The will of Christ is now your will. You will truly be a changed and better person, because now the path that you walk is one in which you walk it shoulder to shoulder with Jesus Christ. Friends, strongly encourage you, take some time this week, can't afford not to, reread the story of the Magi. The story of the Magi, the journey of the Magi, is a story of our own spiritual journey. First, be attentive to the presence of God in your life. And when you see that presence of Christ, act upon it. Expect challenges, but don't be afraid. Summon the courage and the power of the Holy Spirit dwelling within you. When you come in the presence of Christ, offer the very best that you have, your heart, your mind, and your soul. And see, when you do that, you will be a changed person. You will no longer be the same person. You will be a better and faith-filled person. You will grow in the image and likeness that we are all created in, the image and likeness of God. And that's all that Christ ever wants from us. And may the grace and the peace of Jesus Christ rest upon you always.